It's the Paddy's Day that never was, when Ludwig van Beethoven voyaged to the land that inspired and provided the tunes for his greatest songs. Beethoven, as it happens, never enjoyed Paddy's Day in Ireland, but he did create a great trove of song settings, and though it's not always acknowledged, many of them were settings of Irish traditional melodies. The words, well, they were a different matter altogether. Margaret O'Sullivan Farrell, who edited the first complete collection of Beethoven's Irish settings, takes up the story.
Oh, would I were but that sweet minute that I had my apple tree too, that I had my apple tree too.
One person, Alice Hofstadter Anderson, called them an obedient supply of Hibernian absurdities. So that was very critical. Another scholar, Una Hunt, the Thomas More scholar, thought they were actually German poetry translated into English. And that's why they sounded so strange. I'm Margaret O'Sullivan Farrell, and I'm the editor of a recent collection of all of Beethoven's settings of Irish folk songs. This is a slightly different edition in that all the songs have been retexted by Tomás O'Sullivan. Tomás loved the Beethoven's Irish folk song settings and realised that there were very little was known about them, even among Irish people, and wondered why. And he came to the conclusion that the problem was, and he wasn't the only one who thought this, that the problem was that the texts that were appended to the songs after Beethoven arranged them were all very antiquated and not by great poets. So it wasn't great poetry, and that some of the words, in fact, were very trite. You know, they're full of Dermots and Sheilas, and they live in cabins in the woods and this kind of thing. Quite stage Irishy, really. What happened was Beethoven arranged the songs for the publisher George Thompson, who was an Edinburgh publisher, who asked him to do them. Thompson sent the airs to Beethoven. Beethoven arranged them and sent them back, all by post. Thompson would then set about appending texts to the words, in other words. For this, he originally hoped and believed that the poet Robert Burns would supply the words, because actually it was Robert Burns' idea for Thompson to do the Irish ones in the first place. So by the time he had engaged Beethoven and done all the negotiations about money, etc., unfortunately Robert Burns had died. He died in 1796. He had a problem then. He had no words by Robert Burns. So he then tried to interest Thomas More, the Irish poet Thomas More, in providing the words, which would have been wonderful. So he sent Thomas More lots of melodies, and Thomas More took 2 years to answer him and then decided not to. He decided to go off with another publisher himself, which was very clever of him, because he probably realised Beethoven would get all the credit for the compositions. So he went with a different publisher. So poor Thompson then had no poet. Burns had died. Thomas More didn't want to do it. So he then had to engage other lesser known poets. So the words, to say the least, are a little bit antiquated and odd. Tomás then wondered, would some publisher take on the task of putting Moore's words back onto these melodies? A lot of the melodies that Moore and Thompson sent to Beethoven were actually the same tunes. So obviously a lot of the words that Moore put to the poetry would suit these ones as well, if it was just transferred back. It was a long labour of love over 20 or 30 years. I just helped do the editing and putting the words to the computer stuff, which he didn't do. He did it all by hand. But he chose all the texts, and it just all came together.
Autumn, wild and winter.
When we think of Beethoven and arranging music, you think of big scores, symphony orchestras. Aligning that with traditional Irish music just seems kind of strange. What kind of arrangements are we talking about here?
Thompson asked for arrangements for piano with optional violin and cello. Now, Beethoven kind of fought against this for a while. He wanted to make the violin and cello complete, obbligato, but Thompson was insistent he wanted them to be played with just piano alone. So that's what Beethoven did. So they're all completely and utterly performable with piano, but there's violin and cello part as well. So they're trio, piano trios as well, piano trio and voice. You know, it seems from the correspondence with Thompson that he actually quite liked them and liked the job. It was just a job for him, of course. But they're lovely in that there's a little ritornello at the beginning and the end. And also he introduced a little thing, a little cadenzas for the voice, usually just before the last phrase. So they're quite small scale, the beautiful little miniatures, really.
For this kind of a job, would Beethoven have done his research in terms of trying to find out as much about Irish folk music as he could and using the kind of folk inflections in his arrangements, or would it have been much more blind than that?
I think it was probably much more blind than that, yes. I think Beethoven probably had no idea where Ireland was at all. And it's doubtful if he even knew where England or Scotland were either. He didn't speak English, and Thompson, funny enough, didn't speak German, so they corresponded in French, very bad French. But no, Beethoven would have just taken the melody exactly as it was sent. Now, Thompson gave him an idea of tempo and the meaning, and if there had been older words to the tune, or certainly the name, he would have given him an idea of what it was about and the mood of the piece and the tempo. So he did have that, but other than that, it was completely blind.
They probably haven't got that much of a performance in Ireland to date, have they?
No, not really. I mean, there have been some performances in the 70s. I think Frank Patterson sang them. The most recent performance of the songs actually was a lovely event. It was for the 250th anniversary of the Historical Society in Trinity, the HIST. By a lovely coincidence, Beethoven's birthday was the same year as the HIST. And also the other connection was, of course, that Thomas More was a member of the HIST, as was John Philpot Curran, whose words we've used as well. And also, of course, poor Robert Emmet, who was executed and who one of the songs is about, O Breathe Not His Name.
I mean, it's a magic combination. It's so strange that these managed to fall under the woodwork for so long.
Indeed, absolutely. And people are amazed when they hear them, you know, and they seem so fresh. In one aspect, I suppose, they suffered because traditional people thought the accompaniments weren't traditional, so they kind of rejected them. And then classical people said, oh, it's only folk songs, it's only folk music. So it is really funny. It kind of fell, maybe they fell between the steps, I don't know. But hopefully now they'll be popular. This was Thomas O'Sullivan's wish, fervent wish, that they would simply be sung more. I think my favourite is a duet, actually. It's called Farewell. Well, the Moore's words on it are, Farewell, but whenever you welcome the hour. So that's a real beauty. I think if I died and went to heaven, this is what I'd like the angels to be singing.
Margaret O'Sullivan Farrell there, editor of Beethoven's Irish Songs Revisited. Ornya Gallagher was the reporter. And if you find yourself with some time on your hands for some reason, Beethoven's Irish Songs.ie has more songs and stories.